thingly all around it and about it after the blessed habit of 100 years. Nervously and yet almost reverently, Stanton went crunching up the snowy path to the door, knocked resonantly with a slim, much-worn old brass knocker, and was admitted promptly and hospitably by Mrs. Meredith herself, Molly's grandmother evidently, and such a darling little grandmother, small like Molly, quick like Molly, even young like Molly, she appeared to be. Simple, serene, and oh so comfortable, like the fine old mahogany furniture, and the dull shining pewter, and the flickering firelight that seemed to be everywhere, good old stuff, was Stanton's immediate silent comment on everything in sight. It was perfectly evident that the little old lady knew nothing whatsoever about Stanton, but it was equally evident that she suspected him of being neither a highwayman nor a book agent, and was really sincerely sorry that Molly had a headache and would be unable to see him. "But I've come so far," persisted Stanton, "all the way from Boston. Is she very ill? Has she been ill long?" The little old lady's mind ignored the questions, but clung a trifle nervously to the word Boston. "Boston," her sweet voice quavered. "Boston, why you look so nice. Surely you're not that mysterious man who has been annoying Molly so dreadfully these past few days. I told her no good would ever come of her going to the city." "Annoying Molly," cried Stanton. "Annoying my Molly."